at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into almost football season. We've got one more crappy game before it's all over with. Leonard Raskin joins us now from Raskin Global, and of course, managing money and managing the American dream and doing all that. But also, you've lived the American dream this summer. You spent a month and a half in Europe. Your son's back at school, and you've decided, and you want to talk about this because I had to talk about this 5 years ago as well. You have a new animal in your life, don't you? You've found love outside the family.
It's crazy. New family member. Yeah, new family member. I don't know. I was kind of the one that was like, we don't need to do this. And then when it came down to it, I was the one that said, okay, let's do this. And I had to convince them it was time. So yeah, we unfortunately last May, we had a puppy that was just under 13 years old. Had a stroke, had some neurological issues, wasn't doing well. Unfortunately, you know how that is. Had to put him down. Just dreadful. My son was sick.
I can't think of anything worse. I mean,
it's terrible.
I lost my cat and my mother in the same month, and I, you know, really had to come to grips with the cat was so sudden. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. So 13 years, and we were there when they put him down, and it's just dreadful. One of the most gut wrenching at the same time. Humanely human things that we do is take good care of our pets and then help them when they pass. And so we went a year without, and as you said, we our American dream included big trip this summer. So we said no pets until the trip is over. The trip ended and we got home and talk started and internet searches started and breeders contacting started. And sure enough, we took the boy a week ago Sunday back to the Ohio State to move into his new off-campus apartment. And on the way there, we stopped at a breeder, picked up an 8-week-old Great Pyrenees puppy. And this little white furball is running me ragged and going to keep me young till the boy gets home to take care of
him. How much does this animal weigh at this point? And what's the – at peak, it's going to be as big as me, right? Like a buck and a half,
yeah,
right?
Right. So right now – I haven't weighed him since we got home. He's getting a little bigger every day. When we picked him up, he was 8.5 pounds. So a little guy. Now he's
the size of my cat, literally. Like,
oh,
not
yeah.
that big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a teeny furball, nothing. Now he's maybe 10 pounds. I guess he's getting a little bigger every day. He can certainly pull on a leash. And when he wants to lay down and not move, he does it. But we've got to fix the fence a little bit in the backyard so he doesn't escape. And then we got to teach him how to swim so that if he jumps in the pool, we don't have to jump in after him fully clothed. And then we can let him run around the backyard and be a dog. And he's going to be very happy. He's got some land to run on. And at peak, which is, I don't know, they say a year or two, he could be, his father's 120, his mother's 100. So we're guessing somewhere 100 to 120 pounds. And shedding like a fiend, so we'll probably go through a few more vacuums over the next few years.
Well, you got an interesting decade ahead of you now, don't you?
Yeah. Hey, like I said, keeps us young, man. That's what it's all about, staying young at heart. And I haven't run around the backyard in a long time, so running around chasing little puppies keep my legs in shape, and it's a good thing.
Well, you know, here's what I want to say, and this is, I'll bring your pragmatism and your conservatism into this without being political, but I've been with Democrats and Republicans on the shore. I went to a place where they
yeah.
both were like having crabs together and getting along. It was lovely. But I would say this.
It's amazing how that works.
You had a strategy. You thought it through, and
absolutely.
It's a long-term – it literally is a long-term strategy to take an animal into your life, and it is something
yes.
that you have to think about, much like thinking about anything you're planning in life.
Absolutely. It is not a short-term get. It's got short-term and long-term ramifications, as you say. And just like investing, you know, I think the data, I don't know the exact number, but I'll be pretty close. About 30% of the time, think about it. If 2 out of every 10 years, the market goes down, and 6 out of every 10, it goes up, and 2 is kind of average. Now, that's over a calendar year. But within the first year of investing money, about a third of the time, or just under a third of the time, people experience a loss in value of the investment. And think about that. You're just going to invest with a new broker, a new advisor, by yourself, whatever. You put the money in, and a third of the time, a year later, your account is worth less than you started with. That's,
and this is probably that year, right? This is
discouraging. It very well could be. This is depending upon when you put the money in. If you started in June, you might be okay because it was at the bottom. If you started in January, you're down. If you started in May or April, you may be down because May and June were pretty bad months. So you got to take that short-term hit. So we've got a crying puppy at night. I got to walk him at midnight. The wife's got to get up at 6. Well, the good news is for us that I am a night owl and she is a morning person. And we've lived, 28 years together here with this way we live our lives. And so she goes to bed early. I stay up, walk him at midnight, take him out in the yard, do his business, bring him in, put him to bed. And then 6 o'clock in the morning, he's crying and she's up and out and ready to go. So that part works out.
Dude,
it's
you're just 1 week into more, this. This is going to get better.
1 week, 1 week. Well, that's right. And a year in, we'll have some damage. He's got sharp teeth. We're trying to keep the furniture intact, keep the carpet intact, keep the house intact. We have baby gates again because you can't let them run around the house all loose. Had to get some gates up so he can't fall down the steps.
Hey, you could do what my 5-year-old cat does, which is the morning we leave to go to Ocean City for a day and a half, she hides and we can't find her before we leave.
You
so,
go.
You know, we have there that going on 5 years in. Animals and all sorts of, including human animals. Let a Raskin here, Raskin Global. Listen, you're up at midnight, you're chasing the dog, you're doing all that. I know you're watching preseason football, even though nobody
admits
it. And I know the Little League World Series thing, Sunday night was kind of a special night for Baltimore fans to have a double dip of a national thing on Fox and ESPN with relevancy on both sides, which, and not just the relevancy of the pennant race, but the relevancy of the Little League, the classic and Rutschman going down the hill with the players. It was a beautiful thing. I thought,
I thought it was really great. And, I'm going to bet you can tell me, cause you know better than I don't know when the MLB schedules this game, but I'm going to hunch with you. They weren't thinking the Orioles were going to have a better record than the Red Sox.
Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
And they were thinking this game was going to be the Red Sox destroying the Orioles at Little League Park or whatever it's called. And here we were watching the Orioles, like you said, with relevance, them talking about a pennant race with the Orioles and the Orioles beating the Red Sox, taking 2 out of 3 over a weekend series, of which was rather bizarre. Let's face it, a Friday, Saturday Camden Yards and a Sunday in Williamsport as a home game.
And 25 runs scored the other night too, right?
Yeah. Well, wow. That was crazy. That was crazy. You thought 10-3 would be enough. It wasn't because it was 15-10, but crazily enough, listening to national broadcasters talk about the Orioles young, up and coming, having fun players and winning, in a baseball town, as they said on the national broadcast, is pretty strong. And then announcing during the game that I think it was Cedric Mullins, right?
Yep.
They announced he's going to play for the U.S. at the World Classic, whatever, this made up kind of national baseball tournament that they have. That was
Adam Jones's coming out party, right? At that point,
right.
I mean,
exactly
in his whole
right.
career, Adam Jones's career is over now. That'll be the highlight of his career, having done
that's
that.
That's right. Stealing a home run from Manny Machado. That was lovely.
That was pretty good stuff. I mean, we're watching baseball again.
I'm watching baseball. And then Arias who was it last night? Mateo on the smash to clear the bases and give him the win over Boston. And so I'm flipping, I got clicker thumbs, man. I got clicker thumbs. Then I'm watching the Ravens likely to win their 22nd in a row in the preseason.
It's
very
likely that'll be used very, very.
It will be used a
likely
lot,
often.
That poor guy. But let's face it, he's catching balls, man. He's banging into people and he's running. He looked good. And you put him on one side and our Pro Bowl tight ends on the other, and you got. Was it Captain Picard, right? Captain Picard?
Ricard. You're talking, about Mark Andrews you're talking about. Yeah.
No, Andrews and Ricard. Yeah. I like calling him Captain Picard. It just rings for me. And man,
three
you got a full
pro bowler, by the way.
You got a fullback, you got a couple tight ends, and you got what was it? Huntley whipping that ball around. The Ravens quarterbacks, I think, whole game missed two passes. They look pretty good. So it's no Lamar, but and you're not playing the first teamers, but it's fun to watch again, both back and forth with national broadcasts of Baltimore. And it wasn't about squeegee kids and murder. It was about great things happening in a great city. So it was fun to see that too.
Well, I think more than anything, the fact that it's a coming out party, the first time in 4 years they played on national TV. And to your point, if you're paying attention, and I know it was difficult with the Ravens game as well, because I'm trying to pay attention to the Ravens game and hearing the broadcasters and just hearing what they're saying about Lamar's contract. As an example, Glazer saying that he doesn't think it's going to get done. I have to wonder, is the kid going to play on September 11th? That's just me out loud. It feels like he is, but I think if you were advising him, you would tell him don't go on the field. And I think we've talked about other people in regard to his money, and it's his money. He's the agent. We talked about that, but these national broadcasters flying in and overseeing how the Ravens are, their injuries, the disappointment of last year, Kyler Murray, and then the baseball side of this coming out party for Adley Rutschman and a lot of players, Mountcastle, these guys, Hayes, that, you know, most of America hadn't seen these guys play. And Dean Kramer showed himself well too, in a big game like that.
Absolutely. Looked good all around. And interesting hearing national broadcasters for all the networks talking about Lamar. He's kind of the talk of the town. He's the talk of football right
now.
Well,
he's next up to get paid, right? He is undue. I mean, Brady had all of that controversy this week about the Raiders and the Dolphins and, you know, his business dealings. But once this thing settles down and we get ready for week one, Lamar's going to be, you know, a top three story in the league based on signing or not signing, playing or not playing. And I don't know what assurances John and Eric have about him playing and without a contract. But this is stickier to me, and I think to the journalists who cover it, than it's being portrayed here locally that things are just good with Lamar and they're going to franchise tag him. Sure they are. Sure they are.
It may be. And I don't know his situation. Again, he's his own agent, so he's going to have to make this call and figure it out. But one of the things I'm assuming, and I don't know the value of the contract, one of the things I'm assuming he was smart enough to do, or somebody's advised him to be smart enough to do, is to call this company called Lloyd's of London and insure himself. So there are ways to insure your body in his position and play this year. And I don't know how much he could insure it for, but certainly
buying $200 million worth of insurance. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it's up to the insurance company to measure the risk and give him an offer to say, we'll insure you for X and the premium is Y. That's how insurance works.
Well, do you remember the Albert Bell situation, right? And what Angelos had to do to get him paid, like literally prove that you can't play anymore, all of those kinds of things. It's very complex, that part of the insurance process, right? Even going back 25 years ago to Albert Bell.
No question. It's not like life insurance where you can either fog the mirror or you can't fog the mirror. That type is a little different, but it's available. And I don't know the price and I don't know what he's looking at. But again, he says he's going to play. He certainly is out there practicing like he's going to play. He could have held out. He could not be in camp. He's kind of made it clear, at least in his comments, he wants to be in Baltimore. He wants to sign a contract. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to play this year. And he knows what's going on. He knows that if he plays, he could get hurt. He knows that they're going to franchise him next year if they don't. And it's going to be big money for him. And then another year, he can figure out a contract. He said, I'm not going to deal with it during the season. So they got, what, a couple weeks? Figure this thing out or see what happens. I don't think they're comfortable with Tyler, is it Tyler Huntley?
Yeah, well, they were Tyler comfortable Huntley. Enough with him on Sunday night, but, you know,
but
say all the nice things you want about him, but they didn't win games with him, period.
That's right. Or else he'd be the one looking for a half a billion dollar contract. So that's easy. You know, he's a good backup, and that's fine. He's certainly serviceable in that role if something happens, but he's not the one chasing a quarter, half a billion. So we know that. But I think I don't see any reason to think the kid's not going to play. He wants to play football, and there, you know, what was,
well, the paycheck is this, right? The paycheck's about $1.3 million a week, $1.4 million a week. Take the taxes out of that, what that's worth over the course of this year versus the difference of him having $92 million in cash sitting in it. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You know, there's a huge difference here, especially given the risk of, you know, him walking the tightrope literally every week in this league. And we saw what that's like with Travis Jones late in the game. We saw that with Falele getting rolled up on in the first quarter, that all of these things are possible, that he would play without a contract. I don't think it's smart, but God bless him. Let him go play. I mean, if the Ravens can get away with not having to give him $200 million, it'll, you know, let him play.
Hey, I look, he's, like I said, he's his own agent. He's got nobody advising him to tell him not to play. He's got to make the call. He's got to live with the consequences. I found it weird that on national TV across networks, when I was listening over the weekend, they were all talking about two things. He gained weight. Okay, so what? He's still skinny as could be. And he's not that good. He's not worth the guaranteed money that he wants. And I'm thinking, how could Deshaun Watson be worth the kind of guaranteed money Cleveland gave him, except for the fact that it's Cleveland? And Lamar,
it wasn't
not
just Cleveland, though. I mean, Cleveland's going to get vilified in this. Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, they were all ready to give him maybe not $231 million, but they were ready to turn the franchise over to him. They were.
Absolutely. And But my point is, him, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, one after another, these guys are getting huge, long, guaranteed, big money, Patrick Mahomes, contracts. And why wouldn't Lamar say, I'm worth that, and Steve's got to step up and say, here's the check, or here's the future of the check.
Well, that's what we're waiting on, right? We're waiting on somebody to blink. And I'm wondering who blinks when he says, well, I'm not playing this week unless I get $232 million. And you guys can go have a season without me. And I'll just sit over here in the corner and wait my turn, and I'll get paid. You know,
well, if that happens, we'll be watching
Tyler Huntley
against Joe Flacco. In New York or in New Jersey.
I'm not saying it would come to that. I'm just saying that if this is real, this is big boy talk, right?
Here's my thought. It's big boy time. But here's my thought. If we see Tyler Huntley against Joe Flacco week one, I think Lamar's contract is signed before the Dolphin game week two. I mean, that's what I think. Let's face it.
Well, it's, I mean, like leverage is leverage. I mean, it's Lamar's like only leverage is to not play, right? Literally,
right.
Lamar
it's
has
home
the
buying. That's right. It's home buying 101. Once you get the location, now you got to haggle the deal. And I think a property's worth less as a buyer. I think it's worth more as a seller. We got to agree. And what's strange about Lamar's situation, being his own agent, is he's got to listen to them tell him he's not worth it. And then out in the world, tell everybody he's worth all of it. at least with an agent, you have somebody to soften the blow. Hey, kid, they're harshing you. Well, you know, you got to deal with that. No, it's right in his face. Steve says, or Eric says, or somebody says, we're not going to pay you that much. And he says, yes, you are. It's 101, man. It's mano y mano. This is, like you said, it's big boy time. It's real, real stuff. But, hey, 22 preseason games in a row ain't a bad little record.
There he goes. Leonard Raskin is here. He is at Raskin Global. He will help you manage your money and apply almost four decades of wisdom toward all you things. And you can go to RaskinGlobal.com, learn all about it, click around. Seminars coming. We got the masks off, all that stuff. Kids going back to school. Market's been a little wonky. Any just overall advice for people that are getting a little frightened? And hey, gas prices coming back down. Things are normalizing a little bit. Job been in Ocean City, jobs market. You know, when I go, I've gone into places, people, there are workers in places. I think things are coming back a bit to some degree as we're all out moving around a little bit.
Here's hoping. it's hard to say gas prices are coming down when they've doubled plus. So yeah, they're coming down from the high of 450. They're down to 390, and we feel good about that. Unfortunately, they're up from 155, but you got to take what you can take when you get it. So that's good. Mortgage rates still high. So home buying is slowing down a little bit. Home construction slowing down a little bit. Wages are up. That's what's driving people back to the job market. The cost of labor is high. That's causing some of this inflation. Why is cost of labor high? Because when you compete with the government for workers, it's hard to get workers. And by that, let's face it, unemployment and free money kept people home. So you had to pay them more to drag them off the sofa and get them back to work. And then prices of gas go up. Other prices go up. You got to pay them even more to stay. And so labor's up. Inflation's up. Gas is up. Across the board, food is up. Everything costs more. But people are out working. So if we can get some productivity going, we'll be in good shape. Now, the stock market is historically a predictor of the future. It's a six-month-out kind of look at what's going on. It's not what happens today, although it moves like it's what's happening today based on news. But that's the point. It's predicting the future, and then news comes and changes the thinking of the masses. And there's a great book called Wisdom. I think it's called Wisdom of Crowds. That's how great it is. I can't remember the name. It's Wisdom of Crowds. And it's about how when you take a lot of people and you put diverse opinions together, you get great solutions. And it's kind of like going to the racetrack. You're the favorite's a favorite for a reason. It's because when people have to put their money on it, more people bet on this horse than that horse. And that
2004, the Wisdom of Crowds, How the Many Are Smarter Than the Few and How Collective Wisdom Shapes Business, Economy, Societies, and Nations, published in 2004 by James Surowiecki. So there you
absolutely
have it.
There you go. And so the fact is, if we look at the horse races, the favorite's the favorite for a reason. So the market looks out and says, this is what the world is telling me. This is what all the information, all the known and knowable is in the price of stocks and therefore in the overall market. And it's a six-month forward-looking predictor of what's going to happen. The fact is, it's only as good as the information it has, and news changes that rapidly. So something occurs that causes people to stir, and their buying habits change. And there's always somebody buying and somebody selling. What you have to recognize, kind of like the puppy, is there's some short-term mess on the rug. There's some short-term running around chasing. There's some short-term chewing up things, including my fingers and toes, to get to this is a loving member of our family that we're going to keep for the long term, and he's a great little puppy, and he's going to be a great dog. And the market long-term is just like that. There's short-term pain, and whenever I'm coaching investors, what I make sure they understand is short-term pain is always temporary in the market. The next 100%, the next 100% is going to be up. We don't have to go back too long to see a 17,000 Dow or a 2,000 S&P 500. And people said, wow, if this thing gets to 18,000 or 19,000 or 20,000 or the S&P gets to 3,000, it's going to be huge. Well, it went from 2 to 4, from 4 to 4,600. Now, from 4,600, it went back to 4. Okay. It's like the gas prices. They went up to $4. They came back to 350. Market went up to 4,600 on the S&P, came back to 4,000, settles around 4,200. If you think the next 100% is down, you got big trouble. That means every company in the United States has gone broke. We are not talking about the market at that point. We're talking about global Armageddon. Okay, that's not a market thing. That's a something we can't even predict, see, fathom, the world ending, literally, because otherwise companies are going to be worth something. So the next 100% is up. The next 10% could be painful as a puppy bite. You know, they got sharp razor teeth. That thing chomps down on you, it could feel really bad. And so the short term in the market, always bearish, always worried about downturns short term, never worried about the long term returns. Never. The next 100% is up. If the 100% is up over 10 years, it's a 7% return a year. If the 100 is up over 7 years, that's a 10% return a year. if you're invested well and you understand the risk of the marketplace, you understand short term. And unlike anything else in the world, when the market goes down, that's the time to acquire. And when it goes up, it's the time to trim your sails. And in fact, the market's the only place where when things go down, people get afraid and leave. And when it goes up, they want to buy. So people emotionally, we want to buy when it's up and we want to sell when it's down. It's the exact opposite of what works long term. And you can't let short-term fear drive your long-term goals. You'll lose. So there we are.
Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global, with great wisdom about where we are right now. Where we are is in a baseball pennant race. We're 2 weeks out on kicking the season off against Joe Flacco and the New York Jets up in New Jersey. And you can follow Leonard at RaskinGlobal.com and get that great wisdom at BaltimorePositive.com as well. I am out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll be in Carroll County Liberatories on Wednesday. We will be in Westminster on Friday at Rock Salt Grill. And then on Tuesday, we're going to wrap the tour up in Costas, at Costas Inn in Dundalk on the 30th. In the morning. Wes Moore will be joining us, Pam Wood from the Baltimore Banner talking State House and elections, and Mickey Coachella, my longtime friend, sometimes nemesis, will be there at Costas with us on Tuesday as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking about your money and the American dream, and go to BaltimorePositive.com.